Well, it's kind of weird to be talking about the Boston Celtics on the 4th of July weekend, but we're going to do it anyway, and we want to bring back Mike Grenier, our basketball insider. Mike, how are you?
Good, good. But you're right. It is always strange. Years ago, we wouldn't have been talking basketball on the 4th of July weekend, but things have changed so much, and basketball has become a 12-month enterprise and global and all that, and free agency is certainly keeps the news going in the midst of the summer heat, and here are the Celtics just coming off the finals. It seems like they just lost a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And here they are, very active in the free agent frenzy. So yeah, it's cool to be talking about basketball in July.
You know, we'll get to the acquisitions here in a second, but this thing, I've never seen a postseason analyzed so much by so many people on the Celtics. I don't remember seeing anything like this before.
Yeah, you're right. I think that the focus comes from there's so much social media interaction now, and everybody in the world literally can comment on this, that, and the other thing. And the thing I try to avoid, Rick, and I'm sure you do too, is the speculation, because there are so many blogs and so many social media outlets where trades are proposed and rumors are proposed, and nothing ever happens of those things. So I don't pay attention until something concrete actually happens. For example, Jalen Brunson, who has North Shore ties because his father, Rick Brunson, played at Salem High School, he was rumored to go, he's a free agent, he was rumored to be going to about, 25 different teams. Well, no, he ends up signing with the New York Knicks 4 years, $104 million. What a payday for that kid.
I bought that, yeah.
And it's kind of a perfect fit in one sense, because Tom Thibodeau, who went to school at Salem State, who coached at Salem State College, is the head coach. And he just hired Rick Brunson as an assistant coach. And so it would make sense that Jalen Brunson was probably undoubtedly one of the more valuable free agents coming out of this whole thing. Signs with them, although Mark Cuban, I know the owner of the Mavericks, badly wanted to keep him. But it makes sense for Jalen Brunson to go play for Tom Thibodeau and to go play for the wind-starved New York Knicks. They haven't won anything in 50 years. So if he can bring him back to prominence, it'll do him a lot of good.
Okay, let's get to what happened yesterday.
The Celtics. Well, what a great... it's funny, they weren't active on the very first day, and I think a lot of Celtics were get a little nervous and a little fidgety about what would Brad Stevens do to improve the Celtics, who obviously, as everyone knows, were just two wins away from winning the NBA title. They're 18th. And on the second day, sure enough, Brad Stevens pounces and picks up a really understated, underrated player, I think, Rick. And you'd probably feel the same way, and so would maybe Tim Kearns. Malcolm Brogdon, who has a nice history of being just a guy who fits in no matter where he plays. Kind of a true point guard, more so than Marcus Smart. It doesn't mean that Marcus Smart moves over and comes off the bench, but it means that he just adds strength to the team. Malcolm Brogdon is a very good shooter. As you pointed out to me yesterday in the message, averaged nearly 20 points a game last year, 19 points a game. He gets a good number of assists. He plays good defense, and he's 29 years old, which is good in the sense that means he's been around the league 5 or 6 years, but he's kind of in the midst of his peak years. So the Celtics getting him at an opportune time. They add a really quality player, and that further enhances what comes off the bench, because now if Brogdon comes off the bench and Marcus Smart starts, okay, you've already automatically improved the bench. Or sometimes if Marcus Smart is not feeling well or is banged up because he plays so hot on defense, Malcolm Brogdon fits in beautifully as a starting point guard. And if Marcus Smart can play off the bench, he can do that. And, of course, the other part of this is that Brad Stevens, by trading away all those other players, these are guys that weren't going to play, the guys that he got rid of. They're kind of like driftwood coming from the beach. Neesmith never worked out as a draft pick, as a number one draft pick. All these other guys that are now gone were basically cheerleaders at the end of the bench. The Celtics coach, Ime Udoka, wasn't about to play those guys in the big games. And that was going to be true in 2022, 2023, and the ensuing years. They're just not top-of-the-line players you'd play in the playoff series against the Golden State Warriors or any other team.
All right, so that's one piece of the puzzle, and then, lo and behold, they make another big move yesterday, or Thursday. Friday, I guess it was, on Friday.
You're talking about Gallinari?
Yeah.
Yeah, Danilo Gallinari. Here's the thing about him. I well remember this, Rick, and I'm glad you asked. We're talking about him because when he first came into the league and played with the New York Knicks, Mike D'Antoni, a veteran coach who's seen many, many players over the years, I distinctly remember him saying to the media in general in New York City that Gallinari was the best shooter he had ever coached, the best shooter they had ever seen in the NBA. And that struck me as that's a major, bold statement. And Gallinari at the time was, you know, in his 20s and in the prime of his career. And he kind of laughed it off because, you know, Gallinari is a foreign player. And you say, come on, how could he be better than guys who played like Michael Jordan or whoever? But he truly felt that way, the guy who coached him with the Knicks. And Gallinari, sure enough, has had a long career. He's now, I believe, 34 years old, a couple of years younger than Al Horford. And I think that's a great piece to the puzzle coming off the bench. He's 6'10". He's not a great rebounder, but he still takes up space. He's 6'10". He can hit the three-pointer. He can hit the mid-range jumper. He's a really solid veteran presence off the bench. He certainly helped the Atlanta Hawks when they made their run to the Eastern Conference Finals a year ago when the Milwaukee Bucks won the title. He had a great run of games. He's averaged 16 or 17 points per game, man. And even playing in a more limited role this past season, he averaged about 12 points per game. But he's a dead-eye shooter. He's a guy who can come off the bench and the type of guy that Udoka would look for when the offense gets stagnant. Gallinari could give him 10 quick points in a space of 4 or 5 minutes, and opposing defense have to account for him, no question about it. And he's not going to get rattled because he's been through every kind of playoff situation in a very long career.
These moves remind me of when the Celtics acquired guys like Paul Silas, Bailey Howell, Don Nelson, that kind of thing to sort of complete the picture. And as I read this in the Globe today or yesterday, whenever it was, I was thinking, what a difference in mindset between Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens. Remember when Ainge acquired all those number one picks?
Yeah.
You know, there was money in the bank. They're going to be able to spend all these number ones. And nothing happened. And then Stevens turns around and he trades future number ones for guys who can play now. And it's a completely different mindset.
It is a completely different mindset. And I think Celtics fans are probably embracing that because sometimes, as you know, as we both know, with a history of draft picks going back to the 1960s and 70s, sometimes those number one picks work out wonderfully, and sometimes they're complete flops. Whereas, under the Brad Stevens philosophy, if you're trading for veteran players, guys who've been around the league for 3 years, 5 years, 9 years, 10 years, you're getting something that you already know about, a player that you already know about, who, if you can make them fit into your system, then it's going to make his team better. And I think in the case of Gallinari, that's a perfect fit. There's not going to be a lot of pressure on him. He knows the game. He's going to be coachable. One of the reasons he wanted to come to the Celtics because they had a better chance of winning a championship than a couple of teams that could offer him more money. I think the Chicago Bulls were prepared to offer him a couple million dollars more per season. But he wants to come to a team that has a shot at winning a title. So for him, it's all about winning at this point in his career. And come on, if you're Udoka and Brad Stevens, you say, you're going to bring in a good attitude guy, a guy who could still play and who wants to win. That's a low-maintenance guy. You know what I mean? He's going to play for you. So it's a heck of a move by Brad Stevens, a totally different philosophy, like you said. I do like that philosophy. And I think what they've addressed their biggest need, right, Rick, by adding to their bench strength. Now, the bench was so thin in that Golden State series. Udoka wasn't playing Peyton Pritchard anymore. He was playing Derek White, who was not having a good series shooting, and he was playing Grant Williams, who would have one good game followed by a bad game. Now you have Brogdon. Now you have Danilo Gallinari. You still have Derek White. You still have Grant Williams, who obviously made improvements throughout last season. So you're going about 8 or 9 deep now, possibly 10 deep, as opposed to 7 deep in the finals of, you know, the NBA finals.
They fixed that in one day. That's what kills me.
One day.
You know, and I think the final thing I would like to bring up is the Marcus Smart. I wouldn't even call it a controversy because the writers, I think, the sports writers like to make it a big deal. You know, a few days ago he said, you know, I'm the man, blah, 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 I ain't going nowhere, that kind of thing. And he was tooting his own horn. Well, why not? I mean, come on, all these guys are super egos. And then when the trade happens, he tweeted out he loved the deal.
Exactly. He was the first one to tweet up.
Yeah.
I think he tweeted out. I saw his tweet yesterday about Gallinari, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, have they kind of already picked up Gallinari? I was wondering whether he knew something that we didn't know, right? And he embraced that move by Brad Stevens and gave a shout out to Brad Stevens for making these moves.
Yes.
Improve the team. He was the first one on the team to make, I think, social media comments loving the trade. So, yeah, he's all in. I think he knows that the Celtics were just missing a piece or two to complete the deal here to beat a team like the Warriors. Now, that being said, Rick, I guess what we'll be all looking at in the upcoming season is that teams like Milwaukee will have Chris Middleton back. Miami's not going to stand pat. They're going to try to add to their team because they did make it to the Eastern Conference Finals against the Celtics this past season. Obviously, all the elite teams are going to be trying to embellish their bench or add a starter to compete with the Celtics. But, you know, obviously from our standpoint here in Boston area, we're looking at the Celtics as an improved team and, yeah, come in and try to beat us, you know. So the Celtics right now I think are in a great position because, you know, we mentioned those cornerstones, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. You have to think those two, Rick, because we haven't mentioned them yet, you have to think those two cornerstone players feel really great about this trade because now maybe the pressure won't be so much on them to be the guys for 48 minutes per game. Maybe they get to play a little less and handle the ball a little less, and the long-term fatigue won't kick in like it did in the finals this year. So you'd have to think those two young players are also embracing this trade.
Well, I think a key element there is that Tatum especially, but probably also Brown, when they come into the league and they're 19 years old and they're multimillionaires, you know, they really don't care about winning, in my opinion. I mean, they're so used to winning, but when you get to the pros, hey, look at this check, man. No matter what I do, I'm a millionaire. Now, I think, especially with Udoka there, you've seen a real different attitude in both of them in terms of team play. And so when you add someone, even Marcus Smart, you know, if he knows someone can give him a blow, can give him a breather, or can make him better, he's going to want to do it. He's all about winning. So I think that maturity for those two guys will continue to grow under Udoka, plus this trade where we have I think these two guys coming in are going to add to the chemistry rather than upset it.
Oh, there's no question. There's no question. I've never read anything bad about Gallinari or Brogdon being guys who are let's say coach killers or guys who upset the chemistry of any team. These are both solid veterans, young veteran in the case of Brogdon, only 29 years old. These are both guys who have fit in no matter where they've played. And I think you make a great point about getting the big paycheck and not being too worried about winning. That might have been the case with Brown and Tatum a couple of years ago. However, Udoka has inserted a different kind of warrior philosophy in that entire team. And that Tatum, I thought, embraced it in particular in the playoffs. He badly wanted to win a championship. Because I think his legacy, he sees what Larry Bird did. He knows about Larry Bird by now. He knows about Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce wasn't considered a winner until they won in 2008.
Yeah.
And I think people view him differently now. The lens from which he's viewed has changed colors.
But then let me interrupt. Do you remember when he was sort of a crybaby too? And then all of a sudden, because he came in wearing it's limping or whatever it was. And then that abruptly changed after that season and he became an all team first and then a champion. You're right. And he grew up too.
And I think Jason Tatum would like to add a championship or two or three
to
his resume to be considered one of the all time great Celtics. And then if we read Jaylen Brown correctly, he wants to do the same thing. And I think going into the season, both of them have to feel that they're a more complete team as they head into the 2022-23 season than they were a year ago, because now they've added these pieces to the bench. And we also have to bring up the fact that Robert Williams hopefully will be healthier heading into the new season, after having that off-season surgery and coming back, well, not off-season, late-season surgery and coming back to play a limited role in the playoffs, we have to think that he's going to be far healthier and can play more minutes because he became a major factor, let's face it, not just on his as viewed from other teams. He's a primary shot blocker, an excellent rebounder, extremely athletic, so you have to feel that he's coming back strong. And Horford, hopefully he showed at age 36 that he still has a lot of gallons left in the tank.
Yeah.
And even at $5
a gallon. I was going to say, with inflation, yeah.
Yeah, so you have to hope that he can be virtually as effective. You know, when you count in all those guys to go with Tatum and Brown, they have a pretty solid, complete team. So you got to like their chances. Udoka will be in his second year. They comprehend him better. You have to think this is a much better all-around team than they just had, and the team they just had finished just two games out of a championship slot. So you got to feel great about these moves, and you know, let's get to it. You know, in November, October.
That's our basketball insider, Mike Grenier, with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.